Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our special guest the executive director of the nonpartisan Good Government Group, Common Cause of Rhode Island, John Marion. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thank you for having me.
The General Assembly began its new session this week. House Speaker Gordon Fox called for more civility among lawmakers, and he expressed hope that this session will end earlier than last year, even though the legislature faces a host of thorny issues. John, from your perspective as the head of Common Cause, what are some of the top issues this session?
It remains our top issue for the last 4 years. It's been reinstating the jurisdiction of the Ethics Commission over the General Assembly, which is a tough task because it's the General Assembly that has to put that question on the ballot before the voters. Also, we're there to look at the process itself and see how they conduct their business on everyone else's issues. And as Scott said very nicely in his preview piece, we're there to sort of shed some light on those post-midnight confabs that they tend to do.
Let's go to Maureen.
What I wanted to ask you is there's a couple of proposals by good government groups, and there's kind of this implicit threat, if you will. Either you do this or we're going to promote a constitutional convention. Is that a wise course?
It may be a dangerous course. We're one of those groups that has said, listen, we're going to wait and see what comes out of this session. If some good things are put on the ballot, in our case, the ethics, then we'll pause and look at this constitutional convention question and where we're going to stand on it. One of the problems, as I said earlier, is for a lot of these things, the only people in the state with self-interest in the issue are the people who have to vote on it. And that makes it, you know, you don't have a lot of levers there.
Well, there have been cases, for example, when we downsized and we did, you know, change the legislative structure. It can happen, judicial nominations and things like that. But it is a tricky deal. But the resource to the Constitutional Convention, it seems to me, could be a dark hole.
Absolutely. And in each of the last two times that question's been on the ballot, it's been accompanied by a lot of really important reforms, including separation of powers 10 years ago. So you're absolutely right. And that's why we're withholding judgment at this point.
Let's go to Scott.
Obviously, on the opening day of the legislature, to say you're for civility is sort of like waving the American flag at the Bristol Parade. It's something everybody expects. The other thing, however, where the speaker wants to get out at a reasonable time is normal in an election year, because all that happens to them, the longer they stay into June and July, they just get beat up when they should be home at the Portuguese Club or the local tavern shaking hands and trying to get reelected. So it doesn't help them to hang out forever. I would wonder, and I know John is pushed in Common Cause for years on this, is if they would finally focus on having an orderly adjournment rather than these 3 a.m. kind of frittatas.
Oh, absolutely. We've spoken out about that for years and years. And last year pointed to an example of doing some important work early in the session with the same-sex marriage debate.
They did that.
So they can't say it can't be done.
Well, in other news, Senator Jack Reed has been leading an effort to add funding for extended unemployment benefits. The outlook for this remains cloudy in the Republican-controlled U.S. House. Scott, how do you see the outlook on this issue?
Well, basically, this is another good example of Washington gridlock run amok. No matter which side you come down on, the fact is there is a compromise here. Maybe you don't extend it for as many weeks out as Reed and the Democrats would like. Maybe you make it 16 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it is. Look, these people could lose their houses. We're not kidding around here. This is a minimal amount of money, and we know there's high unemployment.
$6 billion is a minimal amount of money?
Yes, if you're looking at a billion dollar budget, it's not that much money. So,
Maureen, how about that point? Republicans say $6 billion is an awful lot, and they're concerned about how to pay for it. Democrats are looking at this as a possible election issue. How do you see it?
I think the underlying subtext here is this is going to be a debate that's going to flesh out when it comes to the election. I mean, I think what the Republicans are doing is using this as a political leverage to talk about, you know, narrowing this, you know, narrowing government, narrowing the federal government. And so it's less about the $6 billion and it's less about jobs and it's more about setting up a context for Republicans and Democrats at the next congressional election. And unfortunately, the losers are going to be the people who don't, you know, get the extensions and so forth.
John Marion, from your perspective, what could or should be done to reduce gridlock in Washington?
You know, there's a really great series this week on the Washington Post. They have a blog called the Monkey Cage Blog, and it's looking all week at the causes of political polarization, and everybody should read it. And they start to point at a couple of things. One is our campaign finance system that increasingly is empowering these outside groups, which are more polarized. And the other is redistricting. Now, unfortunately, as we know, we're going to lose one of our two congressional districts, so it's less likely that, that can matter here.
And that's expected to happen in 2022. Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to another issue. The Chafee administration has changed course after planning to move a state probation and parole office downtown from a poor South Providence neighborhood. Critics say the office is better suited to an area where other government functions are clustered and that moving it downtown would have had a negative effect. Maureen, do you think this was just a NIMBY issue, or did the critics have a good point?
Look, I have to say both. I take it that the Providence Journal, there was a whiff of NIMBYism when they wrote an editorial talking about how ill-advised this whole thing was. And on the other side, Jorge Alorza, the candidate for mayor, talked about it's one thing to talk about this in terms of where it's placed, but there was a little us versus them kind of thing. And I think, you know, the argument that there's no parking, most of these people probably use buses anyway. So it was not done properly. And as we know from Ken Block, they didn't have open meetings and they didn't post a bid. So in that sense, there's reason to complain. But one wonders about the many motives that went on in terms of moving it to another location.
John Marion, as Maureen said, Ken Block has cited the lack of compliance with open meetings on that. From a good government perspective, do you have concerns in how this issue was addressed?
Yeah, and I think, you know, candidate Block is on point with the problem with the minutes of the meeting. But he also pointed to something else, which was the two public members of this State Properties Commission, there are no public members. They haven't been appointed. It's been vacant for over a year. And we've created this sort of Rube Goldberg system of boards and commissions in the state that makes it very difficult to govern. And it makes it very difficult for people to hold government accountable. And so we also have to look at that, not just the open meetings question.
Scott, what is your view of this frittata over the probation parole office?
Well, what's next? Do we move the Garrahee Complex District Court out of Providence downtown because there happen to be criminals who go there or people alleged to be criminals? Do we move the Benefit Street, that beautiful Benefit Street court building? Do we move that out of there? Do we put that in Warwick or somewhere merely because there are people accused of crimes there and people who don't look like the kind of mainstream folks who have their, you know, master's degrees and work for these high-tech companies? I mean, at some point, you have to understand all we're going to do is segregate our society more and more between the haves and the have-nots if all of these kind of social institutions have to be put on Prairie Avenue in South Providence.
Scott, speaking of segregation, this week marks the 50th anniversary of Lyndon Johnson's War on Poverty. State lawmakers screened a documentary about income inequality. What are your reflections?
Well, it's interesting. Look, there was a mixed bag from the War on Poverty, and a lot of people think that had it not been for Vietnam, that perhaps President Johnson could have made even more progress.
John, what do you say?
You know, I'll give a quick movie review. I've seen the movie. It's a good movie worth watching and thinking about, so I give it one thumb up.
And it was made by former U.S. Labor Secretary Robert Reich,
who happens to be the chairman of the Common Cause National Board.
Okay. And Maureen, your thoughts?
I think it was a good movie because I think it starts a conversation which plays into this unemployment question and can become the framework for a dialogue in the next congressional election. And I think that's a good thing.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Thank you.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And the head of Common Cause of Rhode Island, John Marion.
Thank you for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at rapr.org.